Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this.
It makes me very sad, Pete, to hear that you're having physiological effects of your attempt to go clean.
You sound like there's no more track marks from from black tar heroin between my toes.
Well, we were just talking about drug histories and, yes. and wild youth, but you've had to abandon the proton pump
inhibitors.
Statins? Did you stop taking statins?
No, I'm back on my statins because...
That was not something that was affecting your memory?
There are some articles suggesting statins do affect your memory as well. So I'm doing an experiment. I pulled them both, and I'm putting the statins back, and we'll do that for a few weeks or a month and see...
to see if you forget things.
Do I start forgetting
How
things?
How are you keeping track of what you forget and can remember?
Very anecdotally, which is bad. It's not like I'm marking them on a notebook or something.
That's
but
terrible.
I could not remember Adam Sandler. The other day. So for some reason,
and
maybe this
you?
Is a good
How
thing.
How old are you?
54.
Yeah, so of course you don't remember names. Of course you don't remember Adam Sandler.
Really? At 50, you're like, it's all over?
Oh, I mean, at 40. At 40, it's been
so maybe
affecting
this is normal.
Me. Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't want to pick on my...
All men must die, Pete.
My co-instructor.
As your Game of Thrones reading
so I'm teaching.
Should tell you. All men. Valar Morghulis?
The only
like
thing
that.
We have Valhalla control over is the manner Morghulis. In which we depart this earth.
Yeah, and we don't even have much
I've been
control
listening
over
to
that.
Game of Thrones on audiobook, so if I go into the Lannisters cannot be trusted, it's because...
Here's a funny thing.
It's affected me.
You say you're reading the Game of Thrones, and part of me just wants to tell you all the things that are going to happen. I feel an almost perverse desire... to spoil all of the plot twists.
Give me one spoiler. Give me something.
Absolutely not.
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
I know you don't care, but I care.
Oh, okay. So now you're being...
Here's the thing that I could... if I started giving you a list of all the people who are going to die, mm-hmm. you know...
I mean, everyone's going to die.
And obviously it's everyone. But there's deaths that are either unexpected or... what would you call it? What's the... When it goes against common sense, contradictory, but not... incongruous, no.
Goofy?
Nope. It's when...
illogical.
When it doesn't fit what the text... I mean, see here, look, we're talking...
Well, that's what makes it a good twist.
You can't remember Adam Sandler, and I can't remember the name incongruous or contradictory, or those aren't it, or inconsistent. Oh, man. I don't know what this word is that I can't remember.
Okay.
This is terrible.
Impossible?
I don't even take statins. Yeah, impossible. That's the word I'm trying to remember. But they all die. They all die, Pete.
Okay.
And they die sooner than you expect.
Well, it's a harsh landscape. Do I understand this correctly?
You know what I think
their
Game of
winters
Thrones
and
is?
Summers are many years long?
Yeah, yeah. Like the tilt of the planet is much different than ours.
Yeah, so,
I think
that would suck.
That Game of Thrones, when it talks about the Game of Thrones is the show... A Song of Ice and Fire is the book series. Game of Thrones is also the first book in the series. Anyway, I think that it is a rendition of the patriarchy, incomplete, and a complete rendition, showing you just how bad patriarchies are for the dudes too.
And does a matriarchy arise from the ashes like the phoenix reborn?
That's one hell of a spoiler. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. The story's not over.
Well, to that end, that is just a general theme for society. I must say, ladies, I'm very disappointed. I've made a big jump here, haven't I?
Yeah, and I you know what? Let us jeter.
No, but allow me to explain so we don't get a lot of horrible hate mail.
We're not going to get any hate mail.
Now,
we're not going to get any
from
mail,
the veritable
Pete.
Throngs
this
of
is
listeners.
Just, this
to
is
this
just
podcast.
Two of us. This is two of us in a room speaking to no one.
I'm sure there's an FBI file on
you know
this
who
podcast.
I'm talking to.
Who?
Talking to nobody because this is a dead fucking line.
Is this something from a bad movie you're going to make me watch?
It's from a great movie that you should watch.
Do you know what was on? So it's a free HBO week this week on my cable channel. Do you know what was on?
What was on?
What's It Highway?
Lost Highway.
Lost Highway was on.
You hated that movie.
It was so weird.
Did you try to rewatch it?
No, but I think I'm going to rewatch it after having lots of Jägermeister or something like that.
Drunk might not be the way. That might not be more the mind scary? Expansion that you want to.
And unfortunately, who was like the mobster dude? He's dead now.
Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia. I liked him as an actor. Yeah. He was very good.
Is it Loggia or Loggia?
I thought it was Loggia. People say Loggia. Loggia. When talking about
but the thing with Italian, right, is that it's like all the letters always are pronounced the same and you pronounce all of them, something like that. Like, I don't think Italian has. I shouldn't even try to guess.
Andiamo. Let's go. no, but what I wanted to say is now that we have a more gender-liberated society and women are taking on more and more roles and leadership positions, I had hoped they would be significantly better than men, who appear, in my experience, to be complete idiots. Sometimes
Come
women
on,
make
Pete,
the same
you're
mistakes
just,
we
you're
do.
Just though. Doing the same thing that people did with, what? You know, like women are... flighty and all that, and men are so much better at things. I mean, men and women are people. That's like
right. But I'm allowed to criticize men because I am one. That is the rule of comedy.
Now, see, that's what there's the sexism. There's the violence inherent in the
system.
It
is actually, but
you know?
I am constrained by these comedy audiences.
No, by identifying yourself as a man and thus part of this, you know, one crew. Like you're actually defining the division of people by sex.
Then by golly, I'm using whatever restroom I damn well please. I was in North Carolina a couple weeks ago.
Didn't we talk? We talked about that on the podcast. Yeah, I think that you, Pete, should probably use the men's room.
Why do you constrain me so?
Just cause.
So I had brought to you a couple articles because I was pissed off this week.
Yeah. So what was... Yeah. So tell me the story of why you got mad and then let's talk about this
Well,
stuff.
No, I didn't get mad. I guess I kind of expected...
Tell me why you were disappointed in humanity once again.
So, and it's the payment for art. And I would lump academics in here as well because they think of academics, even if you work in the STEM field, they're like, oh, could you come give a talk? And they expect you to do it for free. And I occasionally do them for free. If it's a large company and I think, ooh, perhaps some financially rewarding collaboration might be born of this, then that's totally reasonable. It's totally reasonable to do the first one for free if you think you can get a long-term either consulting or collaborative gig out of this thing. But I think artists, they're like, oh, you should do it for the exposure. You should do it for free hot wings. You should do it for, you know, free Jägermeister shots. Which, by the way, is the promotion Mondays 8:30 at Rocky Mountain Pizza in Midtown Atlanta, where we'll be doing our new Rocky Mountain.
I'm going to jump ahead. I'm going to jump ahead in this conversation. I'm going to get to the end of the first round. Okay. That's because there's always someone else who will do it
for free.
The supply far
supply and demand. Is this your economics degree rearing its ugly head?
I mean, you know, I got this degree. When did I get my econ degree? I got a 98.
Yeah.
And I have not practiced. It's not, and I have not kept up with the literature. So
yet
at a certain point.
You give me economic counsel on a regular basis.
That is not true.
You just did. You just, supply and demand, basic principle of economics.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Like, there's in this, this article, there's a couple lines about fairness. Exchanging creative experiences for fair pay is far preferred over the bureaucracy.
Of grants from things
Some argue that art is a labor of love with enjoyment as another fantastical currency by which artists are meant to pay their bills. Creating art is undeniably laborious and requires a heightened degree of perseverance.
I think because it's a labor of love, the supply and demand curve goes in the other direction.
There's this one.
This is about the loophole in the radio royalty.
Yeah. So, here's this made me incensed, as you might have noticed. this is from
an Ontario newspaper.
Stephanie Vegg's opinion piece of March 14th, 2014, in the Hamilton Spectre from Ontario, Canada. Being an artist is work. Really, if we're willing to pay someone to paint our walls, why aren't we willing to pay for the art we hang on them? And that's from this moment. She said, I heard it best said by a fellow artist during a forum speaking to these ever-pervasive issues. If you're willing to pay someone to paint your restaurant's walls, why aren't you willing to pay for the art you hang on them? Okay, so first off, I would say that's probably bullshit. You know, because one,
I must respectfully disagree.
If art is being hung on walls for free, then it's for sale, right? And if art is being hung on a wall, it was probably bought. I don't think that people are asking for free paintings to hang on walls. Yeah. And if they are, then the person who gave them
they're
for free...
They're douchebags.
Well, no, they are not. No,
I believe
they
are.
They're looking for something for free. If every single painter in a town said, no, I'm not going to give you my paintings for free to hang on your walls, then they would not have free paintings. But because there's somebody who'll do it.
Who are these people, and where would I find them?
Which ones?
People that would give away paintings for free. The canvas and the frame itself cost money.
Amateurs.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Amateurs.
I have some very nice paintings hanging on my walls that were painted by my mother.
The reason that people say, I'm not going to do this for exposure and you're an asshole for saying it, is because there are people who are willing to do it for exposure.
Not true of my mother, though. She would sell her art.
I'm not calling your mother an asshole. I would never do that when you're right here.
But if you could get away with it while I wasn't in the room.
Oh, yeah. Miss Litovitz, yeah.
Sometimes we're all
Jesus
assholes.
Christ, people still tell stories.
But, no, she would sell paintings at local art fairs, and she would command, $50, $60 for some of her oils.
Have you ever heard the
phrase... But she gives her kids paintings for free.
Bad money pushes out good money?
No, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Is this another economic lesson from your degree?
It is, and I'm dead serious. I've heard that so many times. I have no idea what it means. I think that it's kind of like, it's like sort of like voodoo that people talk about. But essentially...
Is this like trickle-down economics?
No, that's voodoo economics. This is just voodoo.
Oh, okay.
If you have low-quality free stuff, right, versus high-quality paid stuff... In something that doesn't really matter all that much. Mm-hmm. You know, the decoration, if you're asking folks to put paint, artists, I can't talk. If you're asking artists for their work for free to put on your restaurant walls, you don't give a shit. You don't give a shit what the art is, right?
Yeah, you know.
You're just like it's popping just it up there. Yeah.
Because how often do you look at a hotel painting?
Exactly.
But there are people whose job it is to pick those out.
And I'll bet you those hotel paintings are paid for.
Yeah, they are.
Because it's just a straight up, it's just a work. But if you're asking people for that, you don't really care. And you're just going to ask until someone says, oh, yeah, I would love for you to have my stuff up there. Mm-hmm. And that person's probably an amateur. That person probably doesn't need to make the money. That person is more, that is the labor of love. Mm-hmm. And so as long as there's one person, as long as there's a few people who are willing to give away art for free.
So the lesson is stop giving it away.
A little bit. As long as there's people willing to give away art for free, then art for free will be the thing. It's just like, when did it happen that folks stopped paying for music, right? And obviously people still pay for music, but there is now an understanding among a lot of people that you shouldn't have to pay for music or that I'm not going to pay for music.
What is the justification for that? I think you should pay for
because
music.
Because at one point it was suddenly for free for a certain demographic.
And that would be people using Napster and illegally downloading it from
but then,
the Pacific
but also
Rim.
Also, because you could from the film Pacific Rim.
No.
But also, you could copy and give it out so quickly, right?
Yeah.
And so suddenly, it's like, no, I don't pay for music. I don't see why I should have to. The giving away for free is not, and then that's not an artist problem, right? Mm-hmm. That's a technology problem. Like it was created.
Yeah.
The system was created where it could be air quotes got for free. You know, stolen in such a way that doesn't feel like stealing. So then that changed how people think about music. And now we have streaming services and people are appalled that Prince doesn't have anything on Spotify.
We did that back in the 70s when there'd be a Led Zeppelin 3 albums in a row at 7 o'clock on Thursday night and I'd stay up and tape them.
Yeah. But bad quality, right? I mean, it's like cassette tape. Eventually it's going to break and you've got someone dips in and says, you're listening to... What was it? What was your station?
I don't remember.
You're listening to K. Ludovitz, KLDV. Led Zeppelin just for Pete. Get ready to press play.
But so, am I an idiot because I pay for music?
No.
I love the new system. You pay between 99 cents and $1.29 for a song.
Uh-huh.
I hated the albums. I was not such a music lover that I'm like, oh, man, you got to listen to all the tracks. No. Albums, it was a scam. There were somewhere between one and three songs you liked.
Let's set aside the music. We can talk about that some other time.
But for a buck or so, Whenever I, so if ever I do a gig, I did a, another, every few months I update my catalog.
Yeah.
And I just go on and say, you know what, new music that I'm hearing on the radio that I like that I haven't heard. And I go on and I buy 5 to 10 songs for, you know, $10 to $15.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to do it because I listen to those on my phone. I listen to them on the my car.
I subscribe to a number of television shows on iTunes that I could very easily download, you know, BitTorrent or whatever for free.
Yeah.
Because I want to vote. I've said this before. I want to vote for those shows with my money.
Right.
You know, so if I buy, when I was, when Breaking Bad was in production, you know, by subscribing to it on iTunes, I was saying, here, here, companies, this makes money, make more like this.
Right.
You know? And I've made sure to subscribe to Better Call Saul because, you know, I want Vince Gilligan and Peter Gould to be able to
make. Oh, I just watch it on cable.
Well, I don't have cable.
Oh, okay.
That's the point. I don't have that television. I'm just saying
that.
Right. But anyway. Shut up about cable. That's not what we're talking about.
But I actually purchased, what is it, Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe.
I don't know why you did that.
Because point, when you're doing light pop music for a picnic, people like to hear that song.
The point is, Pete, is that people do give it away for free. And when you talk, you know, think about the amount of music that's out there. You can get on YouTube and listen to people's, you know, their personal music all the time, whenever.
Right, but I like my own playlist. Yes, that's why I pay a buck or so.
I know. I understand.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that stuff's for free all the time, mostly by amateurs who are creating labors of love. And so if you do not educate a populace to discern between amateurish work and interesting work or amateurs.
Yeah, and you know, I used to give it away. Work. I was quite the creative slut.
Yeah.
I will admit
open
that.
Mic nights, right, for comedians.
Yeah. But open mic nights are a workout room. You're giving stuff away that's not quite pudding yet.
Here's my snob.
My A material, I get paid for.
My pure snob, right, is that the less you know about art of any kind, right.
The less you care about
the less you care about, you know, and the more willing you are to listen to or watch or consume, I guess, stuff that's made quicker and for more of a, I want you to see this, you know, I want it to be seen and consumed and I don't care how much money I get for it.
Ah, so maybe the reason we had this issue is, and I hate to tell these folks from this international design firm that had we done a half day like they wanted and I brought Lou in, we would have charged him double what I quoted him. And we would have been well worth it because if you actually price out what other people that do what we do, not nearly as well.
But these people
but these
just
are
wanted
young
this design
millennials
for, yeah, this design
who have
just
this in their thing.
Come
like,
talk, right?
Oh, you should be grateful to come out and work with us.
I don't know
no.
if it's even that. I don't know
no,
if it's
I'm not
that.
Grateful.
People just want, it's like, hey, come talk. You'll meet people and you'll get to talk
there
about
there are a bunch
stuff.
Of hipsters in pointy shoes who think they know it all. Actually,
well, I've never heard the pointy shoes. Why the pointy shoes?
I don't know. I see a lot of pointy shoes when I'm talking to hipsters. Tight low rider jeans and pointy shoes.
Here's the other thing.
Like, I like the pointy shoes.
Sharing,
very stylish.
A sharing economy. Why is everything so? The
he's,
gate.
He's got the old man verklempt.
Yeah, the gate in the mic is too wide open. I think because it's got this going on. Anyway, the sharing economy, the exploitative sharing economy,
yes.
came from the idea that. Oh, what we'll do is we'll create this way that driving around and meeting new people would be good for everybody, you know?
Okay.
Like Uber and Lyft, I think Lyft more than Uber, it was built to be like, hey, meet a new friend. Is everybody going to the concert? You know, get on the app. You can drive somebody to the same show that you like.
So it's not just transportation. It's social networking.
Exactly. It was supposed to be that.
Okay.
Right?
Nothing wrong with that.
But because nobody really wants to use an app to meet their new best friend. They want to use an app to make some money or get, you know, or get some goods or services.
Yes, there's always a revenue model involved.
Yeah, so now Uber is what, you know, fighting, is lobbying in Austin to make sure they don't have to pay their contractors some health insurance benefit or whatever. Anyway, so you going and giving a talk at a place is collaboration. It's the potential for collaboration. It's the mixing of ideas. It's the sharing economy, Pete. That's why you should just do it, shut your face, and not ask for a check. I think that's generally
the attitude.
But
every other corporate entity that ever asked me to do something similar didn't blink at cutting the check.
So don't go work with them. And you know what?
Oh, yeah, I'm not.
They're going to get somebody who's going to come talk. And also,
and it will be subpar.
Aren't you, as an academic, paid for by the state, bought and paid for by the state? Aren't you supposed to just give your shit away from free? Isn't that the whole point? That open access? The hell's your problem? Why is your activism so selective, Pete?
I do a lot of free stuff for worthy causes. But international design firms is not on that list.
Do you remember the Richard Pryor thing about movies? If he didn't want to make a movie, he didn't say no. He quoted a fee that was ridiculous.
Obscene. Okay.
And then they would say, oh, no.
Okay.
And he said, and every once in a while,
they'd say yes.
They'd say yes, and I'd have to do it. But I'd have all this money.
Yeah. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
You have to charge.
Yeah.
You have to say this is how much. So that
what is it worth for you to do
it? So then people will not ask you if they can't pay.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, oh, no, we can't pay. The design firm, I think the only reason that you're irritated that they didn't accept your
It's because it actually was a very reasonable quote, I think.
The reason you're upset is because they never talked to you again, right? They didn't say, oh, no, that's not in our budget. They didn't negotiate at all, right? They just bailed.
Yeah.
And
that
feels kind of childish. Like, I can't deal with that. But what if you had said, yeah, I'll do that for $500, and he said, oh, that's too much. And he said, oh, I'll take it down to $400. It's like, no, seriously, we're looking for gratis presentations.
Yeah, and I would say, okay, that's not what I'm doing.
And
but
you all
would have
moved on, right?
Yeah.
It would have been fine. But they ghosted you.
They did. That's right.
You know what ghosted used to be called?
What?
Being an asshole.
Yeah, so what is the origin of ghosted?
I don't know.
So, for example,
stop talking to somebody.
I even will ask for money from, you know, public agencies and educational institutions and things like that. And they'll get back to me and I'll work with them. And I usually give educational institutions a reasonable discount. I'm willing to work with those guys. But literally, I will tell them I can't be doing all this stuff for free or my wife will divorce
me. Now, Pete.
So I throw my wife under the bus.
We're about 20 minutes in, and it's time now to say, why are we doing this for free? This podcast is free.
It's free.
It actually even costs us some money.
You're right. Am I still paying the Libsyn thin every month? I think I am.
No, your credit card expired.
Because I closed that account. Did you? Do you want me to give you a different one? I probably can.
Yes.
If you start running out of funds.
Since we're talking about it, sure. I mean, it's been a year or so. So, yeah, we'll flip. Anyway.
Yeah, I think I closed that account. That was one of my, I have a new business account because my old bank charged me a $15 a month fee and they can suck it.
The point is, we pay a little bit of money to do this. And, you know, like, obviously, we're on the clock. So, some of our salary is happening because we're doing this.
Yeah.
But we pay a very minimal amount a month.
But this is educational exploration in our respective fields.
Yeah, it's kind of our work.
I sometimes pay for
exposure.
Candy for my students or donuts for a big class to get them fired up in the morning. And nobody reimburses me for that. But teachers do that all the time.
Nor should they. Why are you buying candy?
Well, for a while, I taught with my good friend Jacqueline a course on unit operations. And for the first couple of weeks, they're not in the lab. They need to get some lectures on safety and protocol and how to write the lab reports. And the lab periods are like 3 hours long. So we jam in multiple lectures in 3 hours. Trust me, a little bit of a sugar high halfway through helps keep you awake for 3 hours. No one can stay awake for 3 hours.
No, it does not.
Crap about unit operations.
It helps you brighten slightly, and then it declines you and gives you diabetes.
Why are you so bitter and cynical? I mean, it's a little fun size candy bar.
No, there's no size that's fun. Sizes are not fun.
They are fun.
No, they're not.
Yes, they're fun for older people
because
if you eat the whole Snickers, that will put you in anaphylactic shock. I can't afford those calories. But fun size, you notice how fun isn't so fun anymore? Fun size is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Screw that. I want the old fun size where it was like, you know, a fifth the size of the regular candy bar. But now it's like.
Except the candy bars are huge now. Have you noticed that?
Are they?
Yeah, there's candy bars the size of a mag flashlight.
What candy bars are the size of a mag flashlight? Weighs like 3 pounds or something.
I may be exaggerating.
Okay.
Anyway, we get the podcast away for free, right?
Right.
Because we're amateurs.
This is a good point. I hate you now.
We're amateurs. We're just talking here. Sometimes I don't even want to go in and delete the F words. I'm trying to remember. I said it once earlier. You know, like, this is, what are we doing when we give away work, when we provide content
so,
in italics?
But I believe it's all part of a broader scheme to pimp ourselves out.
What have you done over there?
No, nothing. I'm just drying my bowl that I ate oatmeal out of this morning.
Do you need this shitty opinion piece to soak up that spill?
I learned this lesson from, of all people, Andy Dick, the comedian. So if you're trying to get paid in one arena, you often have to give content away in others. And I remember I talked to him once backstage about him trying to do some satellite radio stuff,
yeah.
And he wanted to get paid, and they wanted him to do it for free, and he thought about, I don't know ultimately whether he did it or not, but this article points out that a lot of the reason artists will work for free is for exposure. Exposure can be helpful. So, for example, I often open for my good friend Tim, who pays me. And it's not a lot of pay, but I'm happy to do it because I just enjoy working with Tim because he's a very funny guy. His audience is a bunch of nerds like my audience. We have a good time. The art is good.
You're hoping that you're creating an audience for yourself.
But the truth is, I just got this educational gig out of opening for him in Atlanta. So the point is, you have to do a certain amount for free to get exposure to get additional gigs. And I am trying to, on my Twitter feed, weekly mention my radio show in this podcast. I'm way behind. I guess people say this guy's interesting. I should hire him for that lucrative corporate gig.
So when someone says we should be paid for our art, and they have not shown it to anybody yet, and no one knows.
So
if
this is
good
a teaser for your lovely TEDx talks and your library talks and things like that that you do, and you do occasionally get paid for as well. You should, because you are. Riveting, my friend. Riveting.
Well, now I know why they didn't want to pay you, because you're a liar.
What was the thing again? Edvard was talking to his daughter. We all lie sometimes, my dear.
you're gonna go through the ringer with this Game of Thrones thing. Anyway, let's finish this thought.
I just can't help it.
Right. So, Stephanie says,
thinks artists ought to get paid.
The poverty of artists is a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I don't think that's true. I think that the undervaluing of art in general allows amateurs to gain what they're looking for, glory.
Right, exposure.
You know, because professional artists want to be paid. And a lot of people don't want to pay professional artists because they don't think of it as real work.
Right.
It is not about the request for exposure. It is about the actions of the group that's being, you know, it's just like, you know, when someone says why, the reason that there should be, say,
enforcement.
A minimum wage.
Yeah.
Is because you can always find someone who will work. For less.
Yeah.
Right? There's always somebody who'll work for less. And so the sort of artificial constraint on that wage, the bottom of the wage, is to make sure that people don't take advantage of the fact that there's always someone who's going to work for less.
Right.
So why are you looking at me like I'm not saying anything?
No, I'm not. What point are you trying to make, though?
So in art, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This opinion piece goes for this whole, people are exploiting artists and ignoring the fact that they are not. Her example's here. Musician asked to play for free drinks at a bar. The writer building credibility with a deluge of unpaid blogging. The painter invited to exhibit their work in a restaurant or on an unlikely promise of sales to be had from dinner guests. I mean, does she think that this has never worked? Is that why she's upset? People will play music for free drinks. Writers will you know, blog for free. Academics will podcast for free. Painters will have their work exhibited in restaurants.
But you get what you pay for.
Yes, that's very true.
And I think the band sometimes that plays for
more
fee,
more than you paid for.
The band that plays for free drinks is in general not as good as the band that demands to be paid.
Maybe.
Okay. It should be that way.
It should be that way, yeah. But also there's no...
I think everyone had to play for free drinks once in a while when they started.
Right? I mean, that's the other thing. Like, you pay your dues. That's a thing.
I just don't do free things anymore unless it's my own open mic where I get to work on my material.
And it's like the mailroom. You start working in the mailroom in a corporation. I mean, this doesn't happen anymore, but you worked in the mailroom, you know, and you did very well, and you did things that were outside of your job. And people
climb the corporate ladder.
Said, young man, because it was always a man, young man, why don't you come in here and help me out with this?
Mm-hmm.
Right? This being some kind of sexual deviance, I guess. but there's, I mean, there's the understanding of...
Brings me back to my days in Catholic school.
Oh, no.
No, I was an altar boy, but I was never molested. I'll go on the record as saying that.
Thank you.
The priests were actually very nice to me.
I had a point, but I blew it on my own. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're saying what the market will bear. And if you don't like it. But how many, I can't tell you how many times I have seen blog posts on stand-up comedy websites saying, dudes, stop giving it away for free. So what's funny is I work out at my own room. I always do my own open mics. And I have done more than half a dozen of them. And I will say this, in doing these over the years, I have put several fine businesses out of business.
Nice.
The restaurant ended up closing. I don't think we had an effect on that. But and so I MC every time. And I always MC because that's the hardest job. Being the host is the hardest job. You get up there with a cold audience. It's really good for you to help your stuff. And I will not do other, I will rarely do another open mic. I will do it for friends of mine. I will do certain local ones that I enjoy working with. But in general, I will not do them because they are exploitive.
Yeah.
And I think that's ridiculous. So, yeah, I'd rather create my own venue where I have some control over it. But we have so many people that just do free, and they will never go anywhere until they change their attitude. You know,
how will you change their attitude, Pete?
I won't. I think these are folks that want to do it as an amateur for the rest of their lives. And let's face it, it's extremely competitive. So a lot of the nerd communities that I work with, we will never compete with the Louis C.K.'s and the Kathleen Madigans that are out there. That is a really tough circuit. I think you have to be just utterly brilliant. But if you find your niche and go there, I think there is room for that. So I work in a very underpopulated niche, nerd comedians.
And so,
and something's going to break sometime soon.
Artists have to recognize whether the the amateurs can do as well as the professionals, you know, when it comes to giving stuff away for free versus asking for payment. And that's a hard gig if you're surrounded by people that are doing good enough to give it away. And you're trying to do better than that and make people pay.
Yeah, and I think in my niche, I do pretty well. I mean, there's a few places I still sort of give it away. And one of those places is we'll be doing Dragon Con coming up this September again. And we're not even giving that away. At least we get free passes to Dragon Con, which is worth something. So,
right. And Dragon Con knows that it's worth, you know, because what? You're going to go watch that march. Isn't that the big thing?
The big parade.
The big parade.
Yeah, it's a fun time. Good family event. You got to bring the kids down there.
There's nothing fun about it.
But I will say this. One of the big complaints about DragonCon is that most of the content is provided for free because people are so passionate about it. But for me, that is good exposure. DragonCon is a huge event. We always have a packed house. I work with my friend Derek, who does the Skeptics track. He does a great job. And... yeah, so you meet some interesting people, you learn some interesting things, you do get some good exposure. So that's worth it because it's giant. Other than that, get paid.
Let's record another outro.
Okay.
Concilies with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities. Why? This feels so fake.
Do it anyway.
Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Bennett Radio and Pete Ludovus.
Or you can find us on the back porch at Rocky Mountain Pizza in Midtown Atlanta drinking cheap beer.